You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We bless you. We know that you will do wonders in our lives because we have come in expectation of what you have for us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Please be seated and get excited, get ready. Hallelujah. Because your life is about to change. Tell somebody, my life will change today. Oh, tell somebody like you mean it. You know, let me tell you something. God is going to bless you today. God is going to touch you today. Because the word of God is true. And as you have come, God is going to do something about your life. If you encounter God, anybody who met Jesus Christ was affected. And this morning you are going to meet Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This morning I'm going to share with you on salvation through the blood. Salvation through the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Salvation through the blood. Now listen, this is supposed to be a message to enlighten you about salvation, but it is also supposed to propel you to want to share the blood of Jesus. When you come to church, always look out for what can I do in this message? What is the instruction in this message for my life? Always, always after each service, you should be able to know what you must do. What must I do? Because God has spoken to you. Because God is here to speak to you. In Psalm 50, the Bible says that the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. So a word in season to the person who is weary is meant to say that you are receiving a word that will tell you what to do in this weary season. Hallelujah. There's something that you must do. There's always something you must do. Tell somebody, there's always something you have to do. When you don't know what to do, that is the problem. The problem is when you don't know what to do. But in whatever situation you are in, when God shows you what to do, that is the solution. The solution is in the what to do. The doing is that which will bring the solution. So this morning, somebody, Isaiah 50 verse 4, you know that. Somebody, God will give you a word, a word. Say a word, say a word. Shout it, say a word. I don't know whether you mean it, but say it properly. Say a word. Hallelujah. God must give you one word. One word will change your life. And this morning, God will change your life by what he's about to show you through his blood. You see, give us Revelation chapter 5, verse 4. Okay, quickly. 5, verse 4. Okay, go down, down, down. I read the book. I took another book. Go, okay, down, down, down. To 10. Go to 10. Go to, give us 9 and 10. But look at that. Good at that. 9. And they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy. Okay, now he's talking about, I'm trying to show you something about the blood. All right, I want to tell you the power in the message I'm preaching. Okay, they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Out of what? Every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood is that which redeems. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That is what brings you redemption. It's not because you are good. I don't know who is good here. Who is good? Mr. Good. Mr. Good. Who is Mrs. Good? Some ladies are looking very good. But let me tell you something. We are redeemed by the blood. The blood is that which brings you redemption. The blood is that which gives you the right standing with God. Hallelujah. We are like slaves. We are slaves to sin. And the blood redeems you and makes you a child of God. Shout, I am a child of God. Do you know that sometimes you have to shout these things to yourself? Just shout it to yourself. When you are alone, not in church. The message that I'm preaching, it is meant to help you when you are alone. How many of you have realized that when you are alone, things talk to you, not you hear some, you know, voices. It's not like an audible voice, but you feel something is talking to you. How many of you have felt that before? Good. That's why you have to learn to talk to yourself and shout and say, I'm a child of God. Shout. When you shout in such moments, when you tell yourself, you realize that the voice abates a bit. The voice will just stop. But if you learn to do it a lot, you realize that the voice is drowned. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, you need to learn it. You need to learn it that you are a child of God. Listen to what the Bible says. It says that he is the one who was slain, the lamb that was slain. And that lamb is worthy. And that lamb has redeemed us unto God. You have been redeemed to God. What a powerful statement. This is your precious gift. What a precious gift. God has brought you to himself. Wow! I don't know why you are not excited. You see, it's very difficult for you. If you are to see the regional minister, it will be very difficult, even the regional minister. Do you know how you can see him? She doesn't even know how she can see the regional minister. Even the regional minister, who is just in this region, taking the regional office, he's there. He doesn't even know how he can see him. Even when you are a student, you don't even know how you can see your headmaster. It's very difficult to go and see your headmaster. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. How many of you have gone to see, you are in TTU? Have you gone to see the vice chancellor before? You have not. You have not. But you see, that's how it is. So God makes a way, and he redeemed us unto himself through his son. Brought us closer to him. He has redeemed us unto God by his blood, out of every kindred. So the blood of Jesus Christ is able to bring you from every walk of life. So we are happy that this blood does not discriminate. See, the blood, there's no discrimination in the blood. Brother, why are you not saying what I'm saying we should say? You see, I'll tell you why sometimes we are not able to produce the things and then be able to tell people about our salvation. Because sometimes when you come to church, you don't flow well. Because it's in the flowing that you'll be able to. But will you be able to speak to somebody extensively about your salvation? And that's the reason why Christians are shallow. Because we can't tell of what has happened to us. So whatever people tell you, you believe. Because you yourself, you don't know what has happened to you. You don't know. Can you stand with somebody and talk to the person for 30 minutes about what has happened to you? Don't preach to the person. No. Explain to the person that you are saved for 30 minutes. Can you do it? I'll challenge you. I'm challenging everybody here that in the coming week, stand somewhere and just say that I'm going to speak to somebody. Maybe I'm appointing. Maybe use appointing. Maybe preaching. What I'm going to preach. But you realize you can't do it. And it shows how shallow and how superficial we are in our Christian walk. And that's why we don't amount to much sometimes. We are just in church managing. But God is not here to just make you manage. God wants you to be deep. You see, this is a very important scripture. It says that he redeemed us unto God by his blood. Out of every kindred. Oh, no discrimination. We know there are some places. You know, the world is not a fair place. You have to understand that. If you understand, the earlier you understand that, the better. All these human rights things, look, until God comes, it will fight for it. You have to fight to get some. You will not get all. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. So, even though the case, why is it that it is easy for people to come to Ghana, but it's not easy for Ghanaians to go into their countries? It's not fair. It's not fair. Chinese are coming to Ghana. It's not easy to go to China. They are here. They are doing kalamse here. You know, I bought something from a Chinese, 50 pesos. They will give you receipt. Long ago, 50 pesos. They have shops that they sell things for 50 pesos. Chinese. Everywhere they are there. They have Chinese shops. They have Chinese hotel. I went to Asekegua to preach some years ago. A Chinese hotel with a Chinese writer. I don't know the name of the hotel. Chinese writing. Asekegua. Not Takrabi. Asankegua, some years ago, about, I don't know, that's 5 years ago or 6 years ago, Chinese hotel with a Chinese writing. You don't know the name of the hotel. It's in Chinese. Tell somebody it's in Chinese. But it's not easy for you to go there. Look, but the blood has made it. This is the only place that the white person and the black person, they have equal rights. Of every kindred. Kindred here is talking about every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation, every nation, all types of people. Just if you get, you accept the blood, you are free. You are also accepted. Equal rights there. And then listen to this. This is the power of the blood. And he says that, and has made us unto our God. Tell somebody, unto our God. Unto our God. Kings and priests that we may reign on earth. Oh, I don't know why you're not excited about this. Your reigning on earth is based on the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. This is how we can reign. You cannot reign if you are not redeemed by the blood. Yes, this is excitement I want you to see. If you cannot be excited about this, then I don't know what will excite you. Unto God, he has redeemed us unto our God and has made us kings and priests unto our God, only by the blood that we should reign here on earth. So in the sight of God, we are supposed to reign as kings and as priests, in the sight of God. And that's how we can reign and dominate and overcome here on earth, by the blood. Your domination, what you are hoping for, promotion. That's kind of a domination, right? It is through the blood. Say through the blood. Say through the blood. It will not work if that foundation is not there. It will not work if you don't have a platform that you are operating on. Like a certain knowledge, a background knowledge. That what it's like a certain law. Tell somebody a law. It's a law. It's a certain law that you can point to and say, by this, I have to reign here. If you don't have it, you cannot reign. This is a law by which I believe that we are supposed to reign here on earth. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Look at your neighbor and say that we are supposed to reign here on earth. Amen. Yes, that's what the Bible says. Reign. And we are all looking forward to reigning. But you see, how? What rights do you have to reign? It is through the blood. It is through the blood. It is actually through the blood. Without the blood, you see, that by the blood, it's almost like you have a constitutional access, a constitutional right. It is now, so right now, it's like you have a basic, your human rights or your rights in God is through the blood. But that's a place. Everything, listen, everything about your Christian life can be traced to the cross, the blood. If your starting point and then all the blessings that are supposed to come to you is through the blood. So if you don't understand this blood that has been shed for you, that means that you have a lot that you will miss out on. You don't know so many things. You wouldn't know so many things. And you will not realize so many things. And you will miss out on so many things. Amen. Now, today I'm preaching about salvation through the blood. Now, your salvation through the blood of Jesus. What has happened to you? If you say you are saved through the blood, what has happened? Do you know what happens to you when you are saved through the blood? Because it's the blood of Jesus that saves us. Oh, it's not the blood. Is this an orange juice that saves you?
No.
What saved you? Are you sure? The way you are saying it is like you don't believe in it. Some of you think that your pastor saved you. Hello? Your pastor didn't save you. Pastor's blood cannot save you. No. It is not your father who has saved you. Or your mother. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take you through some steps. When you say you are saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed your sin, what happens to you? What really happens to you? It's very important to understand what happens to you. Why we celebrate Easter and why we call it Good Friday. It's supposed to be a terrible Friday. When we go through the day and then we read about what happened to Jesus, it's supposed to be a terrible Friday. But we call it Good Friday because, Jack, it's good for me. But that terrible Friday worked for my good. Are you there? It worked for my good and it worked for your good. That terrible Friday, somebody's child was killed. Somebody's son was killed and murdered. But we call it good. Is it fair? It's not fair. Christians, we are some way power. We've given it a good name. Meanwhile, it was a terrible Friday. Now, the first thing that happens to you, if you are saved, when salvation comes to you through the blood, the first thing that happens to you is that, that's the first step. That's the first step. Is that salvation is forgiveness to you. Or the first step of salvation is forgiveness through the blood. You are forgiven through the blood. So a sinner comes to Jesus Christ. And what happens to the sinner? The first sin is forgiveness. You are forgiven. 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 Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8. Forgiven. It says forgive, I'm forgiven. That's, I like the song, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. Forgiven. Look at what the Bible says. Forgiveness through the blood. I'll get you a scripture.
The Lord is good. Tell somebody the Lord is good.
Yeah, let's first of all use the NLT Bible from verse 1. Let's start from the verse 1, okay? The NLT. Give me the NLT version from verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it says that I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Continue. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Continue. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Okay, this is what he wanted to do, and he gave him it gave him a great pleasure. So you see, right there, number five, right there, you realize that God wanted to bring us to himself. That was actually the plan of God from the beginning, all right? So God created us for himself. How many of you want God to take you for himself? Ah, it's nice. All right, continue, verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Now, 7 says that he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. Give us a 7 and 8. 7 and 8, not 8 and 9. Okay, so he is so rich. Now, when God says rich, sometimes you have to also understand God's definition of riches. Okay, sometimes we like money too much. When you hear rich now, you say rich in kindness. There's also rich in kindness. So he's so rich in kindness. God has been kind to you and grace that he purchased us. All right? And purchased our freedom with his blood. But by the way, do you believe that you were actually slaves? Because it says that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. And he showered his kindness on us along with all the wisdom and understanding. Now, give us this in King James. Okay, the 7 and 8. Give us in King James. All right, 7 and 8 in King James, not 8 and 9. Okay, in whom, the Bible says, the 7 says that, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Okay, so we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had bounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. So, forgiveness. Forgiveness is what I'm talking about. Forgiveness. Say forgiveness. Forgiveness. So, the NLT again. 7 NLT. Look at it. He purchased us with his blood and forgave our sins. So one of the first things that happens when you are saved, the first thing that happens to you, or the first step, is you are forgiven. You know, when you sin, the person is angry with you. Have you realized? When you commit an error, the person is angry with you. Yes, we've made a mistake. We have sinned against God. So God has been angry with us. That is before salvation. God is angry. You know, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God, God's wrath is revealed from heaven. Let's go to Romans 1, maybe 18 downwards, 18, 19. The wrath of God, God's anger is revealed from heaven. God is angry. When you are sinning and you are living a life of sin before redemption, he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Our ungodliness. Charlie, I don't want you to lift up your hand, but maybe you can lift up your eyes like that so that nobody will see you. How many of you have been ungodly and unrighteous before? Lift up your eyes like that. Reverend Eric, he has lifted up the hand. Hallelujah. Are you understand what I'm saying? So you see, the Bible does not leave us to speculate. God is angry at unrighteousness, and God is angry at unholiness. When we are not holy. So that was our life before salvation. That's unrighteousness, and we are unholy. All the unholy things that you do, that we do, we've done. We see, nothing bad happened though to you. But the truth is that God was angry, the wrath of God. He's not angry at you. He's angry at the unrighteousness. And if you committed it, then eventually you are in the line of fire. Yes. There's a wrath. It's a very wild statement that the wrath of God, the wrath, not just the anger. Wrath is like anger that is multiplied. It's so severe. God is so angry, fuming, ready to crash. But he revealed it. Huh? Who hold it? The people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hey, God is angry. God is angry. The whole world has forgotten God. This whole world. I mean, sin is just normal. It's like you shake hands, you do things. There's no God. In the concept of man, man has made a concept in which they fit God. You see, there's a way, even Christians have their own concepts. Like you have a frame of mind, and then you read the Bible to fit into your frame. That's a mistake for even Christians. But I'm talking about the world. People who don't believe in Jesus Christ. You have a concept of the world. You have your own concept of the world. And God is saying that the wrath of God is revealed against all this unrighteousness. Romans 1 is important. Verse 19. Look at that. If Romans 1, we can be here. We can be here. Maybe I should take my time because the time is almost up. Because I cannot give you all the steps. Romans 1, 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God had showed it unto them. Nobody has an excuse. That which is known of God is revealed to them. It's not everybody that can read. But there's something God can reveal to you. God manifests. There's something that is a manifestation to you that God is saying that this is my revelation of myself to you. Randy, I saw a vision. You see, it's a vision that I knew. God revealed himself to me. I saw a vision, and the vision that I saw, and if I explained to you, you wouldn't understand. But when I saw it, and in the vision, in the night, God told me what it is. I saw the vision of God. And you ask me, when I describe to you, you even think that I'm mad to say that is God. But God revealed to me. God will reveal to you. Everybody has a personal revelation by which you will know that there is God. You can't say there's no God. And the wrath of man is, the wrath of God is revealed to people who have rejected this truth. That God has revealed himself to man. God has revealed himself to man. Yet man still say, there is no God. I don't believe. I saw a little child, sitting on social media. Foolish grown-ups will follow this child. Say, I don't believe in God. A child, Ghanaian child. You are here. Also joining stupidity, telling what? You don't believe in God. You'll be there. You see, you don't make God any lesser than who he is if you say you don't believe in him. You don't. At all. You know, this version, this scripture 19, it's a very important scripture. Let's use other versions. You will understand what it means. Let's use other versions. 19 says that they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. There are some things God will make obvious to you. You may say you don't understand Genesis, but there are some things you will understand. God has a way of making everybody understand him. When you see a tree grows, when you see the bird fly, when you see the seasons change, when you see the skies above, you must wonder, when you go and stand at the shore and you look at the vast nature of the sea, something will tell you that there is a God. There is a God somewhere. There is a God somewhere. Tell somebody there is a God somewhere. I'm telling you. You know, sometimes when I stand at the seashore in the night, in the evening, look, it's scary. Alone. When you are there, you are left alone to stand. You may run away. I don't know whether you've experienced that before. Alone there, you stand there, you see. What? And you are there alone. You don't know what can even come out of the sea for you. Yes. Because they know. Give us other versions of verse 19. They know the truth. The truth is not about what somebody told you and how I preached to you. The truth is the fact that the truth will be revealed to you in your heart. You know deep in your heart that you are not all powerful. You know it. How many of you know that you know you are not all powerful, you yourself? You know it. That's the truth of God revealed to you. Because the knowledge of God may be seen in them. How you grow, how a child grows. How, you know, even the Bible talks about how, you know, this bony man here, bring your hand. There's bones in your hand. But now, can you imagine that this bone came out of a womb? How did it form in the womb? A soft womb. It's a scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes. The questions in Ecclesiastes will come here. Ecclesiastes 12 or so. How? 11 or 12. He says, how did this bone come out of this womb? How did it form? When you go to the hospital and somebody is pregnant and you see the fetus, is there a bone in it? Is this bone in this thing? Whatever that the scan can pick, is this bone in it? It is seen in you already. It is seen in you. The truth and the knowledge of God is already revealed in you, just that you don't want to accept it. How did it happen? How did it happen that this hard bone was in this womb? It was forming. Hallelujah. Go back. Yeah, Revelation. Basic. Give us a basic BBE version of the Bible. I like the 90. Hey, Ecclesiastes 1. Thou knowest not the way of the spirit of the womb, that the child will know is the work of the bones do grow in the womb. You see that? You don't know how. How did the bone grow? Even the wise man in Ecclesiastes is asking the question. Tell us about the wise man is asking the question. The knowledge of God may be seen in them, having made it clear to them. Go to verse 20. Verse 20, the King James Version. Look at that. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Tell somebody they are without excuse. This is talking to you and talking to the world. This is talking to you and talking to the friends that you have who claim and have facts and reasons why they think there's no God and don't believe in God. They are without excuse. They are without excuse. And don't side with them. When you side with them, you are just like them. You are also without excuse for believing what they are saying. They are without excuse because the Bible says they are invisible things of God. There are things of God that are not so clear. You can't tell me that bring God and let God come and stand here and tell me he's God. Then I'll believe. Jesus came, raised the dead. He died on the cross. He rose again. They still don't believe. And you want him to come and do what? Who has done such great things on this earth? What did you do? It will not change who he is. The invisible things of God. From creation, they are invisible things. You will see something, it must tell you, God is wonderful. There is a God. You know scientists, what they are doing research. It's almost like looking out for things that already exist, but they don't know how to. Their concepts are not able to put them into perspective. It's almost like trying to find God, trying to find something that is bigger than who they are. They don't have understanding of this thing, so they have to go into experiment. You have variables and controlled elements. Are these the two things you use in experiments? We have the controlled factors and then the variables. Controlled are the constants, I think. Or true or not true. Hey, people are quiet. Is it the students are here? They won't talk. Me, I did this so many years ago, I've forgotten. You see, people are here. Well, they won't say it. The students who are sitting down, prof, who students are here? They are here. Your professor is sitting here. You'll be there. Prof is sitting here. They won't lift up their hands. Meanwhile, you are in school. In an experiment, we have controlled whatever factors and then the variables. You have to be changing the variables. The variables, you change, so that you get different results. Do you understand it? Now, that's what science is trying. Science is trying to arrest the situation and say, this is it. But it has always been there. It's almost like trying to arrest God. God, we want to get you. How can we get you? They are not getting him. So you get a piece of God. Today they say, we have discovered this. It has already been there. Tomorrow they say, we've discovered this. It has already been. All the planets, they've already been there. Our concept. Do you know that the universe, even beyond the universe, there are a lot of things that our current equipment or systems have not been able to capture. Do you know that? Yes. Not our spaceships and then Hubble, whatever, they have things that goes into space. They can't go onto some of the planets. Oh, they are able to go to only the moon and where? I think that they are trying to go to Mars. The human beings have not yet gone onto some of them. These are close, even planets that are close. Some of the places they cannot arrive at. They have an image or pictures. A machine has gone there to take pictures and come back. You can't. There are some of them machines cannot go there and transmit them back. They can't. So they are now trying to. You are trying to now figure out something that God has created billions of years ago, and you say you are powerful. Gee, you better be quiet. You know. You are trying to figure it out. That's something that a person you want to appear here has created long ago. Simple. He says the invisible things of God. Invisible things of him. From creation. You have to look at creation and say there's God. There's a God somewhere. Big. And that is why I'm saying this, to tell you that from the verse 18, he says that you are without excuse. But the wrath of God is revealed to people who are saying there's no God. They live their lives anyhow. There are no controls, no boundaries. People live there. You know the word gay, what it means? To be super excited, without be high. No boundaries. Be. That's a word. It's not the gay. Gay is a word. It's a word before we take it into sexual realms. Hey? Mika gay now. Why you need a baby? Give us the meaning of gay. You will get it before that other meaning comes. Yeah, gay. So that is where that word is even coined from, where people trying to get excited, like to excitement without limits. I do get it. It's like go beyond, go extra, just get excited. Then the excitement has led them into this excitement. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a word. It's actually a word that tells that. So you realize that when people try to live their lives without control, without excuse, without whatever, God says, but my wrath is revealed against you. You know, the verse 18 says that the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. Unrighteousness are the injustices amongst people. What the wrong things we do amongst men, and ungodliness is the wrong things that we do to God. Yes. This is the difference. Why the two? Sometimes you may not know. Unrighteousness. There are things that you must not do to man. There are things you must not do to a man. There are things you must not do to a human being. It is a sin against God. Because that person is the creation of God. God created the person in his own image. And there's one that is directly against God. That is ungodliness. Directly against God. Verse 18 talks about the wrath of God. So God is angry. God is angry. And then he comes and says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 and 8 that in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. God is angry, but he must put down something that when he sees that, he will be appeased, he will be atoned, he will be calmed. And then he sends his son that only this blood will help me. Only your blood. Otherwise, I'll be angry at these people. There's no forgiveness without blood. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, 27, says that almost all things are by law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no salvation without the shedding of blood. If God's blood, Jesus' blood does not flow, there's no salvation. Because there's a wrath, the wrath of God. Always think about the wrath of God that is revealed. It's revealed. God has revealed it. God is telling you it's there. Against man. Against ungodliness. There's wrath that is also revealed against the ungodliness. There's wrath that is revealed against the unrighteousness. But then in Ephesians 1, we know that in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We are redeemed from that wrath. We are redeemed from God himself. God's wrath. We are redeemed. We are redeemed by that blood that he shed. Through the blood. Then God forgives. God is appeased. God's heart. You know, when you are angry, you are boiling. Yesterday, I was somewhere. Was it yesterday? Yesterday was Saturday. And was it yesterday we met? Yeah. I was at a site. And they are trying to construct a wall. And I was standing there. There's a neighbor who was misbehaving. The adjoining land. And said some thief things. We don't mind that. Now, as we are constructing the wall, he has a system. He has constructed his sewage system. He's constructed it such that the thing actually comes into this other land that we are working on. It's not so obvious. So as they were constructing the land, as they were digging, I think the machine scratched the edge of the tip of the, it didn't break anything. It just scratched. And somebody reported, oh, they've scratched. And I hear she was raging all over the place, so angry. And so they called the surveyors and then they said, rather, I said, hey. You know what I said? They should have called me. This is the kind of quarrels I like. I said, why did you not call me? This person I'm looking. You see, I was so angry. You see, but the people, they know that. They didn't tell me. Because I would have asked that they remove that thing. Oh, yes, I would have called for it and break it. Because I was angry. I was angry. Why should they not be angry? You are rather at fault, but this small scratch, you are raging and making noise. But when I saw that it was built, I knew that this thing had gone into the extra land, the land. But I just had to be cool because I looked at somebody's face, I said, it's okay. It was a face that cooled me because they don't want me to be angry. I said, it's okay. So when you are angry, the wrath, I'm just saying that to show you that the wrath of God, God is boiling. Then he receives the blood of Jesus Christ and says, ah, it's okay. My son's blood is on you. That's the only reason why. First call, forgiveness. I forgive you. That's the first step. There are one out of seven steps. That's the first step. And I hope to share with you the other steps because there are other things the blood does. After forgiveness, there are other things you must receive. God is no longer angry with you. God is no longer angry for you, what you've done. God is no longer angry about your sins. That's why you don't have to beat yourself down. Don't beat yourself until you're going mad because you are just thinking about what you've done before, what you've done. Listen, you can't change what you have done. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you have done is gone. The only thing you can do is to receive forgiveness from God and then allow yourself to also forgive yourself because the blood speaks for you. Hallelujah! Then forgive yourself. It's gone. Whatever it is, it is gone. You've done it. You can't also tell yourself you didn't do it. Don't try to make yourself psychologically believe that you didn't do it. You did it. The thing is there. It's recorded in the realms and in time. Time passed. It's recorded in time. That is gone. Hallelujah. Say, I have redemption. Say it again. Say, I have redemption. Through the blood. What is redemption? Redemption through the blood And he explains by saying, the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven. That God forgives you. And God is no longer angry with you. No, calm down. You're no longer angry. You know, sometimes you're angry and then you are cool. Something makes you cool down. You get it? One day, prophet is telling of a story of a man who was doing construction with him. They needed to finish a project before they have a program. And then in the speed of the work, the man suddenly traveled outside the country. They couldn't find him. Hey! Meanwhile, they were going to receive, I think, an international speaker. They are finishing something. The man traveled. They were hot. They had to do... I mean, it affected him too much that he said he would never work with this man again. Then this man traveled and came back. One day, he says he was in the house. And then the man, he saw a delegation comes to the house. Say a delegation. A delegation comes because they say, look, the way he's angry, I can't go alone. Well, if you go alone, it won't work. So he went with the delegation. Even he was not going to speak. The delegation will speak on his behalf. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Good. So he arrived at the place and they spoke and then pleaded and said, oh, they are sorry for what he has done. He's sorry. He wants to come back and work. He's very sorry for letting him down, blah, blah. So as he listened, he was just coolly sitting down in his house listening, as he was listening and all that. And when they finished talking, they had a hamper or a basket that had oranges and then some juice, orange juice. And then some real oranges. And then when they finished talking, and then he actually, they presented the orange juice and the oranges. The juice, and the oranges. You know why they brought the juice? They said, oh, it's like something to cool him down. So he says that as he was sitting there looking at the oranges, he says that hey, these people, so they are saying that this juice should atone for the sins of this man. So he says that each time he was drinking the juice, he was remembering that, hey, this juice is supposed to bring forgiveness. Are you there? Each time he'll be in the house and he's drinking the juice, he will remember the man's sins and he's cooled down. The Charlie, it's okay, at least. He has brought this juice. But you see, orange juice cannot really bring you forgiveness. Hallelujah. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is that which brings you forgiveness. Are you there? Forgiveness. God is no longer, the wrath of God is no longer against you. I said the wrath of God is no longer against you. God is forgiving you. I said God is forgiving you. Everybody who's sitting here, that is what gives you right here. That's what gives you right. It's not about, we are not interested in what you have done before. No, so that is not so important. We believe that you are changed by the blood. You are forgiven by the blood. That's the first step to salvation. There are so many others. But it is important for you to understand forgiveness. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. God has forgiven you. And how did he do it? Through his blood. May you be forgiven indeed, oh. And may you also understand this point, that God has done it and your sins have been washed away. And God has forgiven you. God is no longer angry with you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what you must tell people. That's what you must preach to people. Tell others. God's wrath is against the ungodliness and against the unrighteousness. And that is why you need the blood, because without the blood, God will be angry. It's not about how much good you do. It's about how much of the blood of Jesus you have received. May you preach the blood to others. Tell people. You see, this city here, if we say we are Christians, we must be found telling people about Jesus Christ too. You must be. It's not just preaching and hearing a message and going home. What is that? What does that do to you? What does that do to somebody who has been washed by the blood? What does that do to you? What is this message going to do for you? Who is washed by the blood? You have accepted Jesus Christ. This message is supposed to stir you up to tell other people. It doesn't matter whether they will accept or not. Tell them. You keep telling them. You keep telling them. Maybe out of every 10 people, one person will accept. You must keep telling them. That is your work. You must keep on repeating the message. Don't be, look, this message, I preached it before, and I'm preaching it again, because the blood is never outdated. It doesn't expire. I say the blood of Jesus does not expire. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, because the blood does not expire. You know, real blood expires. Reverend Eric is a blood bank. He's a blood bank manager. I don't know what he does there, but he's into blood. He manages blood at the hospital. Reverend Eric, does blood not expire? Real blood, when they take it, expires. But the blood of Jesus does not expire. It does not expire. I mean, you should be appreciative. And that you are able to share even the one that expires. Reverend Eric is a big man. Because he's supplying life. Hey! He's not a small man. As you are seeing him here, he's a big man. He gives blood. If he comes and you don't get the blood, Charlie, you are hot. If you arrive and he's telling, somebody will die. Oh. Even blood that expires. But what about the one that doesn't expire? When you are sharing it, come on, it's my brother. Come on. Why are you ashamed of sharing the gospel? Why are you ashamed of telling people about Jesus? Why are you ashamed? Why? Ask yourself, why am I ashamed? Why are young people ashamed? Why are we ashamed of speaking about the blood? The one thing that has saved us. Jesus, we thank you for redemption. We thank you for redemption. May we preach your word. May we speak your word. I don't want to be ashamed of preaching, honestly. Because this world tries to make you be ashamed. You must go against this shyness or this fear. Why are you shy? You're afraid to talk about Jesus. You are feeling shy to talk about the blood that has saved you, eh? Really? Really? You don't want to stand and speak for people to think that you are mad, eh? You are talking about blood. This girl too. This boy too. May that not be your story from today. May you speak and share the gospel of what Jesus has done. Forgiveness. Forgiveness through the blood. Forgiveness through the blood. Shout, I'm forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Clap your hands, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, we bless you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your presence and to receive forgiveness through the blood. We are grateful. Lift your hand and tell the Lord how grateful you are. Oh, I'm forgiven because you are taken.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
I am accepted.
I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
I'm alive and well. The Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again.
Let's sing it again. I'm forgiven. Take your time and play, please.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
I'm accepted.
I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
I'm alive and well.
Your spirit lives within me
because you died and rose.
Let's sing it again. I am forgiven. If you believe it, lift your two hands and sing, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken.
Lift your hands and say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Because you were condemned.
You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
And I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me.
All because you died. For the very last time, let's sing it before we sing the chorus. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven, all because you were forsaken.
Oh, oh,
and I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
And I'm alive and well.
Your spirit lives within me.
All because you died and rose.
Lift your two hands and sing amazing.
Amazing love,
accepted. We are forgiven. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you. This will be your song. This should be my song. This should be our song. This should be the song of all generations, that we are forgiven. We are forgiven by the blood. What gives us the right to be here? We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. What gives us the right to be here? We don't have any reason, any right to be here. It's the blood of Jesus that has made a way for us. We don't have any reason. We don't have any cause to stand here. It's because he was forsaken. It's because he himself, he died. Our King died for us. Our King Jesus died for our sins. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We appreciate you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. In the name of Jesus, that you died for us. We are forgiven. We are grateful. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.